Father, we praise you, we thank you that we can come to you anytime with anything, and you not only hear, O God, that your ears are open to the righteous. You hear us, O God. You care. You communicate with us. And Lord, tonight we just thank you for the Kurowski family, for Clarice's mother, O Lord, that went home to be with the Lord. And that, Father, even at 92 years of age, she just accepted you. She came into your kingdom, and we praise you for that, O God. And Lord, we also lift up Lowell Gibson to you tonight. We pray for him and Danny, Angela, the family, Lord, staying so near to him as I know that you are. And Lord, we just ask now for your perfect will to be done for Lowell. We love you. We praise you, Lord. Now help me tonight to teach your word in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn into the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're starting a brand new book tonight. And I can tell the pages are turning. That means you're very excited, right? Oh, listen, Deuteronomy is going to be a great study, amen? Listen, the fifth book of Moses. You know what's wonderful about Deuteronomy? Now, listen carefully. We may not cover every verse in Deuteronomy, not because the verses are not important or not that they're not living. It's just that we have reviewed so many of the same verses. And you know what? The Lord may not allow me to skip anything. I don't know. I never do that unless I feel it's okay with him. But, you know, Deuteronomy is a tremendous book. You know, the word Deuteronomy in Greek, it means second law. It doesn't mean that a new law is going to be given. It's just this is a second generation. And so Moses is going to go over the laws of God again with the second generation as they prepare to go into the promised land. What I like about the book of Deuteronomy is that the book of Deuteronomy is a transitional book. It takes us now, as we end Moses' life, we now move into Joshua, and as he's taking over for Moses, and Joshua is one of the greatest studies in the Bible. And so we're preparing to get there. So it's a book of transition, but one thing that's wonderful about the book of Deuteronomy is that it's a book of second chances, meaning the second generation, God, the first generation is now dead except for Joshua and Caleb. And the second generation now, they've been given a second chance. They're the ones who are actually going to get to go into the promised land. But it's more than just a book of second chances. It's a book of destiny. It's a book of destination. God is pushing his people to a prime location. And the land flowing with milk and honey is a great place. And you know what's amazing? When they get there, they defeat their enemies. God says, you're going to live in their homes. You're not going to dig wells. The wells are already dug for you. Amen? It's going to be incredible. Now, with all that being said, it's also a book of God's divine faithfulness. He carries the children of Israel in. He is so good. He is so good to us tonight. So Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, they were mainly concerned with the Levites, you know, the priests and so forth. But the book of Deuteronomy is concerned about all the tribes of Israel, all the tribe, in other words, it's written to everyone. The word all Israel is used no less than 12 times in the book of Deuteronomy. And when Moses speaks to all Israel, he's not speaking to all 3 million people at one time. He's speaking to the leaders and so forth, which will finally go out to all of Israel. And then when this book is complete, then all of Israel will have access to the written word themselves. So Moses is about to die. And this new generation is going to have a new leader, and his name, of course, is Joshua. And Deuteronomy does contain the last words of Moses. And you know, something is really great about Deuteronomy. Do you remember we just studied out in Luke's gospel the temptation of Jesus there where he's tempted by the devil in the wilderness? Jesus uses exclusively in defeating the devil all of his scriptures that he used where he goes over and over, it is written, it is written, it is written, from the book of Deuteronomy. So we look tonight, and the theme of this great book is believe it or not, is the word love. The word love is mentioned 22 times in the book of Deuteronomy, and the second theme is coupled with love, and that is obedience. So it's love and obedience. Matter of fact, that's the title of tonight's message, is love and obey. And so obedience is man's response to God's love. Amen? Now, let me just read the great commandment, which we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God," there it is, "with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength." Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16 says, "In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you go in to possess." So let's look tonight about loving God and obeying him, beginning Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. "These are the words which Moses spake to," there's that word, "all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf," which is actually the Red Sea, "and between all these other areas there." So again, the old generation, they're gone, they're dead. Only Joshua and Caleb remain, and Moses again is preparing this new generation. Now remember, they're on the east side of the Jordan across from Jericho. They have not entered into their inheritance, so they're being prepared. And so Moses says in verse 2, he says, "It's 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea." So 11-day journey to the promised land. Imagine that. An 11-day journey took 40 years. Or I should say it lasted 40 years. Because of two things: disobedience and unbelief. And you know what? If we walk in disobedience, if we walk in unbelief, not trusting God, not "the just shall live by faith," you know what we're going to end up doing? We're going to end up wandering through this life, wasting our life, and never doing what God wants us to do. Amen? And we're not going to live that way. So if you're moving slowly, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you're moving. You know, I mean, the older I get, I'm just thankful I am moving, okay? Look at verse 3 with me. "And now it came to pass in the 40th year," meaning the 40th year after the Exodus, when God brought them out of the land of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, "in the 11th month," which would be about January, February, "in the first day of the month, that Moses spake to the children of Israel." Now, meaning this is his speeches that he's going to deliver in the book of Deuteronomy. "To the children of Israel, according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them, after he had killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtoreth in Edrei." So, you remember, we covered all this in Numbers chapter 21, when these kings would not allow the children of Israel to pass through the land. And they said, listen, well, matter of fact, just turn there in Deuteronomy, we can look at it very quickly, to chapter 2. And look, I think it's verse 26. And I was eating candy and my pages are stuck together on my Bible. I want to be honest in the pulpit always, amen. Look at verse 26 of chapter 2. He says, "And I sent messengers there from the wilderness to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, 'Let me pass through your land, and let me keep strictly to the road, and I will turn neither to the right nor the left. And you shall sell for me food and money that I may eat, and water for your money and that I may drink. Only let me pass through the land.' And just as the descendants of Esau who dwell in the land of Seir and the Moabites who dwell in Ar did for me until I crossed the Jordan to the land which the Lord God is giving me." But you already know the rest of it. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't allow that to happen. And so, you know, they went in and God said, take them, and they defeated them. The same thing in chapter 3 about King Og here. And I don't need to read all of that, but, you know, he wouldn't let that happen either. Do you remember our study there about King Og? Do you remember what the word Og meant? It meant long neck. Now, it's not talking about a beer, okay? Well, this is Texas, you know. No, it's talking about, see, he was a giant. Look down at Deuteronomy chapter 3, I believe it's verse 11, if I'm not mistaken. It says, "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was of iron, an iron bedstead, is it not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon? Now watch this. 9 cubits in length. That's 13 feet, okay? 4 cubits in width. That's about 6 feet, according to the standard cubit. So he was a little fellow. You know what I'm saying? And so they defeated all them. And so, because they wouldn't let him cross. Now look at verse 5. And on this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began. Here his speeches are getting ready to start. Moses began to, literally the word is, make it very, very, very clear. He began to explain this law, or the instruction on how to please God, how to walk with God, how to prosper with God, how to enter the land and so forth, saying, so Moses' first speech begins here in verse 6 that I'm getting ready to start. It ends all the way in chapter 4, verse 40, which is going to review all of Israel's history. So Moses begins now with a review of the history of Israel on their first attempt to enter the promised land. And this is going to be very fresh for you because we've just talked about all of this. It says in verse 6, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, remember, saying, you've dwelt long enough on this mountain. Turn and take your journey. Go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon. As far as the great river, the river Euphrates, see, I have set before you, go in. That's a command. Go in and take the land, or possess the land. That means take it by conquest, okay? Which the Lord swore, that unchangeable permanent promise of God. He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them and their descendants after them. So the second generation, the people of Israel, they're standing now in front, or maybe sitting, this we're not told, in front of Moses. And Moses is rehearsing all of the history of Israel, okay? And so there they are listening to Moses, realizing that they will be the fulfillment of the God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're the generation that's going to go in and take the land. And you know, surely there is going to be a generation in our lifetime that's going to take the land back. Amen? Take it back to where it's a godly land again. And that's what we need. It needs to happen even now. So the command and go and take and possess is mentioned 18 times in the book of Deuteronomy. And believe it or not, the main emphasis there is on the land. The word the land, in other words, go in and take it, is mentioned nearly 200 times in this book of Deuteronomy. Verse 9. And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I'm alone, I'm not able to bear you. And the Lord your God has multiplied you. And here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude. In other words, just like God promised Abraham, remember all the way back in Genesis chapter 15. And he says, may the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are and bless you as he's promised you. And how can I alone bear your problems and your burdens and your complaints? He's going back now and he's talking about Exodus 18. Remember when Jethro came, the priest of Midian, saw Moses, you know, doing people lining up to talk with him. He says, hey, Moses, this is just not good. He says, you're going to kill yourself. I'm paraphrasing, by the way. This is too much for you. And so it says in verses 12 through 18, which I'm not going to read, that Moses appointed leaders and judges to take care of the cases over the children of Israel. And the ones that were too hard for the judges, the leaders, they would bring the hard cases to Moses and Moses would handle it. Now look at verse 19. So he continues the review of the history and he goes, so we departed from Horeb and went through all the great and terrible wilderness. If you want to know what the wilderness was like, there's a word for you. It was great and terrible, truly horrible, in other words, which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites as the Lord our God had commanded us. Then when we came to Kadesh Barnea, now that would be Numbers chapter 13, it says, I said to you, you've come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Now look, the Lord your God has set the land, there it is again, before you. Here's the command, go up and possess it by conquest. You take it for me. As the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you, do not fear, do not be discouraged. And every one of you, everyone, come near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of which way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come. You know, isn't that a terrible thing to be recorded for the first generation? You know, usually when you think of the first generation, like you take the first generation of TV, you know, when you first, wasn't TV great back then? And then after you get down the road, it gets worse and worse. Wouldn't you agree? You know, and that's the way it is. Like you take a 1963 Chevrolet Corvette. I mean, you know, after that, it was just all downhill. Amen. So, you know, these first generations, they should have been proud. They were the ones, they had the promise of God. They saw the glory of God. They saw the Shekinah glory of God, the miracles of God. And yet, they did not trust God. They said, you know what? Instead of asking God, in other words, believing God, God had already searched out the land. He said, listen, it's flowing with milk and honey. No, they say, listen, the first generation, right on the border, the very border of the promised land. I mean, they were 11 days away. That's about 160 miles through the desert. And what did they do? Instead of God, they wanted to look to man. They wanted to look for man to, you go spy out the land. You and then you come back and you tell me what you think. You know why they did that? The same reason we fail sometimes, and God forbid, I pray we don't do it often. And that is, they did not trust the promises of God. They did not trust the word of God. And we need to be a people that are strong and believe God no matter what we're faced with. And you know what? There are things in this life that look a lot bigger than us, amen, as we'll see in just a moment, the giants and all that. But you know what? They're not bigger than God. I think the question we have to ask ourselves right now as we start our study about loving God, obeying God, are God's promises enough for you? That's a challenging question. Are they really enough for you? Or do we have to go outside of God and say, well, God, I mean, this is your word, but I'm going to go over here because, well, there's a friend of mine or this or that. No, we need the word of God. So look what happens in verse 23. And Moses said, well, the plan pleased me well. Well, Moses, that was you. So I took 12 of your men, one from each tribe. They departed, went up into the mountains, and they came to the valley of Eshcol. Meaning, remember, Eshcol means the cluster of grapes. That's the grapes they brought back, you know, after spying out the land. And they spied out the land, and they did so, remember, for 40 days. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands, brought it down to us, and they brought back word to us saying, oh, it's a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. In other words, gosh, it's just like God says, it's flowing with milk and honey. It's a great land. He says, nevertheless, oh, watch this, nevertheless, you could not? No. You, Moses said, it's not that you couldn't. It's that you wouldn't. You would not go up, but look what they did, but rebelled against the command of your God. Now, let's stop right there, talking about loving God and obeying God. You know, I hear sometimes people say, you know, that I just can't do marriage God's way. What? Why can't you do marriage God's way? I mean, His way is perfect, amen? And you know what we say when we say, well, I can't do marriage God's way. I can't raise my children God's way, or I can't do this. I can't do that God's way. You know what we're really saying is my way is better. And we're saying that my wisdom is better than God's wisdom. Listen, there is no one wiser than God. Amen. And He has given us His word, not only to obey, but we obey Him because we love Him. You see, it's not forced upon us. When you love someone, you want to love them. Amen. You want to do what's right in their sight. So they wouldn't go up. But look, they rebelled at the command of the Lord. And look what they did. Moses said, and you complained in your tents, you bunch of crybabies. And you said, I added that scripture. It's not there in case you're not following in your Bible. Because the Lord hates us, they said. Oh, He's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. In other words, we're all just a bunch of victims because God hates us. Oh, where can we go up? How are we going to find our way and all of that? And He says, our brethren have discouraged our hearts, meaning all hope of really entering the promised land is now lost, okay? Oh, all of our hearts are discouraged, saying the people, oh, here it is, the people are greater. The people are taller than we. Remember, we're just like a bunch of insects, like grasshoppers in their sights. Remember? Oh, the cities, they're great and they're fortified all the way up to where? They had to be Texans, don't you agree? I mean, all the way up to heaven, you know, that walled all the way up there. Hallelujah, you know. Moreover, we've seen the sons of Anakim there, meaning the giants. So here's what the children of Israel were saying. The task is impossible. It's impossible for us, and it's impossible for God. It just can't happen. And you know, remember when I taught through Numbers 13 and 14, I made this statement. I said, you know what? What the spies said when they came back, it was true. I mean, they did live in strong cities. They did live in fortified cities with very high walls. Yes, and there were giants in the land. Those are all facts. But you know what's tragic is that they could have been a bunch of giant killers, but they weren't. And so can we. You see, there's going to be things in our life that look so big that it looks insurmountable to us. But we have to trust God. We have to trust His Word. May I say this in tenderness to this Wednesday night crowd tonight? We have become complacent. The church has become complacent and comfortable. It really has. I know that not only, it doesn't take a genius or a prophet to know that, okay? It just takes someone old like me to say, we're in trouble. And you know what? This is our year of divine fruitfulness 2014. And here's the deal. Some of us are going to move forward into that fruitfulness by loving God, obeying God, because you cannot, if you do those two things, you're going to be fruitful. And some of us are going to miss our fruitfulness and go into fruitlessness. And that's sad, isn't it? Because it doesn't have to be that way. See, the children of Israel, they didn't have to fail. They didn't have to succumb to what they saw. No, they didn't have to do that at all. I mean, they could have, like I said, they could have been giant killers. You know, it says in Numbers 14:1, remember what the children of Israel did when they saw all that? They went to their tents and then it said they wept all night long. But they weren't weeping because of their lack of faith. They were weeping because they believed the giants were stronger than God, stronger than themselves. They had absolutely no faith. And you know what they did? They turned their backs on God. Now listen carefully. We are filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. We have a better covenant based on better promises with a better mediator. His name is Jesus Christ. We're full of the Spirit of God. The grace of God belongs to us. The strength of God belongs to us. And I look and I say, you know what? We should be conquering instead of weeping. And there's a time to cry. Amen? There's a time to weep. There's also a time to laugh. There's never a time to skip church, though. You know? We should not be complacent. It's a dangerous thing to get comfortable in life. If you study out, just when you get home tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 8. Remember what the Lord, what Moses tells the children of Israel? Don't read it now. He says, beware. He says, beware now. Don't get comfortable. I'm adding to scripture. He says, don't forget that I'm the one that calls you to get all these things when you come into the land. Don't forget me when you start drinking out of wells that you didn't dig, living in houses that you didn't build. Don't get comfortable. Don't say, by my hand, by my own doing, I've caused myself to gain all this wealth. He says, beware that you do not forget the Lord thy God. We can become comfortable people, just like the children of Israel. We can say we love the Lord, but we stopped obeying the Lord. And I look and I say, oh God, I tell you what, I don't want to do that because unbelief robbed them. It says in Numbers 14:11, listen to what happened. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? I'm telling them that I'm with them. I want to lead them into the land. I'm going to give them the land. He goes on and says, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs that I promised or I performed among them? Right there on the edge of the promised land, they could have gone in. Unbelief, disobedience, the lack of love for God, the lack of trust for God. Man, they were robbed. And you know what it says in Numbers 14:25? It says, God says to Moses, tell the children of Israel to turn back. What a horrible word. Turn back. What do you mean? Turn back away from the promised land. Turn back and go into the wilderness. And that's where they went, and they wandered there for 40 years. Amen. Well, how we need to learn and remember the word of God. Look at verse 29. And then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. And he gives us the reason. The Lord your God who goes before you. In other words, he's not going before you to destroy you, but look what he's going to do. He will fight for you. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever lost a fight? Never. He is never going to lose one either. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. He will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. So Moses is saying, why don't you look back, remember, never forget what God did. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord God, what did he do? He carried you. He carried Israel as a man carries his child, his son. And in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Have you ever seen a mom or a dad with a new baby? Oh, how they, I mean, you've seen me just dedicate children. I'm so terrified. I don't, you know, I'm going to hold them and I'm afraid I may drop them. Don't tell anybody that. And, you know, but you know, when you hold that baby and you're so careful with it. Amen. Well, how careful do you think God is? He carries us all the way, doesn't he? He's always carrying us. He's never going to let us down. You know, don't let fear rob your life. Life is soon going to be over. And the greatest thing we can do is step out. Don't do something stupid like me. You know what? Remember the tree? Oh, you don't remember? Do you not remember any sermons I teach? You know, I said, I'm going to cut that tree down. Hallelujah. Well, it was, you should see the film. Man, here we are. There's about three or four of us out there. You talking about a bunch of morons. Here we are. We've got about a 5,000-pound branch right by the house, the AC unit, everything. And here we are holding this magnificent rope, and this on film, by the way. And here we are, and the rope breaks. We all fall down. I re-injure my stinking back. You know what I mean? You know why I did that? Pride. Because I said, you know, 64, I'm going to cut that tree down. I'm not, you know, pride, presumptuous faith. It was pride. And it cost a lot of money, but it was pride. You know, we need to trust God and say, Lord, you know what? I'll just believe a storm's going to come and take that tree out. Well, it didn't happen. I had to have it taken down, the rest of it. And like that tree man told me, he says, I told you were crazy. That's what he said. He said, you're crazy. You think you can take that tree? I said, I can do it. He said, no, you can't. Now, I should have listened to that young fellow. He had more wisdom than I did. So I called him back and said, hey, you were right. Can you lower the price a little bit? I said, it's about 5,000 pounds that, you know, I took down for you the hard way. So anyway, I don't know why I told you that story. Oh, because God will carry you. He carried me. He says, oh, Bill, what are you doing on the ground? He said, you know, it's wrong. Listen, God will get us through, but we have to be wise. We have to, listen, a wise man discerneth the evil day. He knows when to do a thing and not do a thing. Amen? We need to wait upon the Lord. Be sure it's God. And then when it's, you know it's God, then do it. Follow the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:10, it says, he found him, meaning Israel, in the desert land and in the wasteland, in the howling wilderness. Listen to what God did. God encircled Israel. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him. That's what Jesus does for us. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. We're led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Because we're sons of God. It says there in Deuteronomy chapter, verse 32. It says here, for all that Moses is saying, look what they, you did not believe the Lord your God. You went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. How sad. The 12 spies went over. You know the story. We've taught it so many times and you've read it so many times. They came back. They gave the report. You know, the 10 spies gave the evil report and only two, Joshua and Caleb, gave the good report. It's amazing that 10 people, 10 spies who gave an evil report, we can't take the land, they're bigger than we are, all the rest of it, they stopped the destiny of 2 million people, or 2 million plus. And they also caused all those to die in the wilderness because of unbelief. You know what? Don't ever go with a majority. Go with God. Amen? Because God, when you're with God, one with God is a majority. And just go with the Lord. It says in Psalm 106:24, it says, and then they despised the pleasant land, meaning the land of Canaan. They did not believe God's word, but they complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Look at verse 34 now. And the Lord heard the sound of your words, Moses says. He was angry, and he took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb. He shall see it, and to him and his children I'm giving the land on which he walked. And here's the reason. Because he what? Wholly followed the Lord. That means he never wavered in his faith. He believed God's word. You know, remember Joshua chapter 14, I think it's verse 17. I could be wrong on that. It tells us that Caleb was 40 years old when he spied out the land of Canaan, when he went over there as one of the 12 spies. It tells us in Joshua 14:9, it says, and Moses swore on that day. It says in Joshua 14:9, it says, surely the land which where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, talking to Caleb, because you've wholly followed the Lord my God. And Caleb, remember, he responds and he says, you know what? The Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. So he's 85 years old. And he goes up and he takes his land. He fights for his land. And did you know that not only did Caleb inherit Hebron, but he fought for it. And out of all those that received their inheritance, only Caleb took all of his land and drove out all of the enemy because he wholly trusted God. Amen. And that's what happens when we say, Lord, I wholly trust you. Doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter how young I am. I wholly trust you with all of my heart. That's what love and obedience does. And I look at his tonight and I say, oh, I want to be like Caleb. I don't want to be. See, the reason I say that is because, first of all, Caleb waited on the promises of God. He didn't try to make them happen. He waited 45 years. And you know what? Some of us can't wait 45 seconds. Amen. We're all guilty of that. Look at verse 37 now. And the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, even you shall not go in there, Moses. And we remember why he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he's going to go in. Encourage him now. For he shall cause Israel to inherit it, meaning the land. Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there, to them I will give it, and they shall possess it. How would you like to have been that second generation, and you heard Moses say that? In other words, they were right there standing before Moses, and they're saying, you know what? Our parents, our first generation relatives were wrong. We didn't end up victims, we ended up the victor, amen? And we are going to go in, and we're going to take our inheritance. So it says in verse 40, but as for you, turn and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And then you answered and you said to me, we've sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight just as the Lord God commanded us. And when every one of you had girded up his weapon of war, you were ready to go up into the mountain. And the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up or fight. And here's the reason. I'm not going with you. I'm not among you. You've disobeyed me. You don't love me. You didn't do what I asked you to do, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, talking about that first generation. He says, yet you would not, what's that word? Listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord and presumptuously went up into the mountain. And the Amorites who dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do. Boy, what a description is that. And drove you back from Seir to Hormah. That word Hormah means destruction, by the way. And then you returned and wept before the Lord. They wept. You know why? not because they disobeyed God. They were wept because they were being chased by the bees like Amorites, if you will, all the way down the hill. But the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. So you remain in Kadesh many days according to the days that you spent there. So that first generation, it's too late for them, isn't it? Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is. Right now, today, faith is. If it's not faith, it's presumptuous faith, and we don't want to operate it. Now listen, they lost everything. They lost their God's plan for their life, God's purpose for their life. They lost what their inheritance, what God was giving them, that good land. And they had to go back to the wilderness. And here's what's so tragic. Now listen, because they did not obey God, they could not change the heart of God after that. God says, no, you're not going into the promised land. Now listen very carefully. Deuteronomy is a 3,000-year-old book. Think about that for a moment. Here we are studying it. And you know what? I dare you and encourage you to compare it to any document of that time period, 3,000 years ago. And you know what you're going to find? You may find a document, but you're going to find a document that is absolutely lifeless. Amen? There's no doubt about it. Deuteronomy is living. It is powerful. It's sharper than two any-edged sword. It's living. It's God-breathed. Amen? It's the Word of God. Now, in the King James Version, as I make application quickly here, listen carefully. In the King James Version, the word inherit is listed 153 times. The word possess, meaning like possess the land, 36 times. The word hear is listed 65 times. Hearken, 44 times. Heart, like love the Lord thy God with all your heart, is listed 46 times. And the word love is mentioned 22 times in the New King James Version. Now listen carefully. They did not inherit. They did not possess because they did not hear. They did not hearken. They did not obey. And they did not love. You know why? Because of unbelief. Because of disobedience. You know what? In order to possess what God has given us, we must, number one, we must love the Lord. Amen? And if we love the Lord, we're going to obey the Lord. Doesn't mean we always obey perfectly. I don't mean that at all. But it says this, how tragic it is to turn away from God. God says, go take the land. I know there are giants there. I know all about that land. What's wrong with you boys? You know, take it. You can do it. I'll fight for you. That wasn't good enough. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:31, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And matter of fact, it doesn't matter who's against us. Amen. And remember the next verse, it goes on and it says, but he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up Jesus to the cross. Why? For us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, our inheritance, our possession? Listen, I start thinking about this, that verse that I just read, and I say, we read that, we profess that, but my question to all of us is, do we believe that? So I think today there's people still in the church, they believe that you have to earn God's favor. You have to earn God's grace. Listen, God was for us all the way in eternity. Amen? I mean, before we were ever born, he's for us. Psalm 56, I will help you, saith the Lord. I will help you. Do you believe that tonight? I mean, listen, you know, remember on Sunday we talked about how Jesus spoke to the fever. He didn't speak to Peter's mother-in-law. Well, you know what? Do you ever just speak to those things? It says, cast them down. No, that's a lie. That's an untruth. You'll not inhabit my thinking. You'll not inhabit my heart. And you'll certainly not dwell in my mind. God is for me. God is for me. On my worst day, my darkest day, my lowest moment, God is for me. He's for you. Amen? And we can possess our inheritance that we have now. We can walk in all the spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. They belong to us. I don't want to end up like Israel. Remember what happened after when we go through Deuteronomy, it's going to get some places kind of mean. Thank God we're not under the curse. Amen. But you know, remember how Israel finally ended up? Let me read Jeremiah 7:23 to you. It says this, it says, but God says there, it says in his word, he said, oh, but this is what I commanded Israel, saying, oh, obey my voice. Say that word with me. Obey. God says, obey my voice and I'll be your God. You'll be my people. Walk in all ways that I've commanded you. And here's the reason, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but they followed the counsels and the dictates of their own evil hearts. And listen to what they did. And they went backward and not forward. I want to keep going forward. Amen. I wonder how many Christians are going backwards. They're not moving into their destiny. They're not moving into God's plan and God's purposes in their life because they're not obeying. And you know why they didn't obey? Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 16:12. And you've done worse than your fathers. Man, in other words, God says, you didn't learn from any of their mistakes. He says, but behold, each one follows the dictates or the imaginations, the stubbornness of his own evil heart. Listen very carefully. So that no one, God says, listens to me. Now listen. Listening, as we're going to learn in Deuteronomy, is the very foundation of Israel's existence. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. You know, many hear but never listen. Did you know that? You ever talk to your wife and you're sitting there, or she's talking to you and you're going, and you hear her, but you're not listening? Oh, never mind. All right. Deuteronomy 4, 1. Now, right this moment, God says, O Israel, what's that word? Listen. Open your ears. Don't just let my lips be moving. He says, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live. That's what we want. We want to live. They wanted to live. God says, I want you to live. Live, and here it is. Go in. Take that land. Possess it, which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You know, 2014 is the year of fruitfulness. Let us listen to the word of God. Not just hear the word of God, but listen to the word of God and move forward and trust the living God. It says in Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, it says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the living or from the Lord. You know what? We can't trust in man and God at the same time. Your heart's then divided, and a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Jeremiah 17:6, it says, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert. Don't you love that verse? What was that comic comedian, that kid on TV? He's a shrub. Yeah, you don't remember that on the TV? Oh, never mind. I like it. He said, he'll be like a shrub in the desert. I put that on my refrigerator. And shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited, meaning unable to support any kind of life. That's the horrible results of not obeying God, not trusting God, that horrible sin of unbelief. He said, you're just going to be a shrub dried up in a wasteland, and that's the cost of unbelief. But listen to this now, Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man. Let me write that again. Blessed is Calvary Chapel, who trust in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Now listen to, if we do that. For he shall be like a tree. Oh, we're talking about fruitfulness now. He'll be like a tree, meaning always growing, always growing upward, planted by the waters, that never-ending supply of waters, the Holy Spirit of God for us. By the waters which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. I love this now, but its leaf will be green. And listen carefully, and talking about fruitfulness, and will not be anxious in the year of drought. When it looks like everything is falling apart, when the finances look low. Whatever it might be, God says, oh, no, no, no. You're planted. You're my tree. You're obeying me. You love me. You're listening to my words. You're doing what I'm saying. You're going to prosper by doing those things in your life, in your marriage, and whatever you do. He says, oh, you'll not be anxious in the year of drought. Now listen to this part. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. I like that. That's what I want. That's what you want. Amen. You know, the Bible teaches us in 1 John 5:3, we're talking about loving God, obeying God from the book of Deuteronomy. It says, this is love for God. Okay, what is love for God? To obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Now listen, love for God is not demonstrated by our words. I love you, Lord. I really love you. No, love for God is demonstrated by our obedience, by our doing. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Listen, let me just read this verse from John. I mark it here. It says this. It says in 1 John 2:3, it's so wonderful to have light on your Bible, isn't it? Man. It says, by this we know that we know him. By this. It means when we're born again. It means the new birth. By this we know that we know him, okay, if we keep his commandments. There's a lot of children of God. They say, I'm a child of God, but they don't do anything God says. And he says, no, there's a proof right here. The proof's in the pudding. If you know him, if you're really born again, you're going to keep his commandments. And he who says, I know him, I have an intimate relationship, I'm living in union with him, I'm drawing strength and grace and love and goodness from God. He says, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and his truth is not in him. Boy, that's a tough word, isn't it? You see, we're living in a time right now, a time of terrible complacency, a time when Christians, they think they can do anything they want to do, say anything they want to about anybody, never serve, never do this, quit this, do this, whatever, all the time. And listen, I'm depending on the book of Deuteronomy to do something. I'm depending on this to number one, where we can look at the great, great a commitment to the great commandment and the great commission. That's our vision statement, isn't it? We'll grow a fruitful church. And that's what God was telling the children of Israel, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Isn't that what our great commandment is? Yes. You know, listen to me. When we do that, that's where we'll find a place where love never fails. We'll be walking in that type of fruitfulness. You know, Jesus told us when the lawyer came to him, and I know it's time to go and I am closing, but listen, remember that lawyer came to him, and the lawyer knew the law. He said, tell me, you know, Jesus, so what is the great commandment out of all the commandments, all over 318 or whatever it is there in the old covenant? Well, what's the greatest one of them all? Jesus did not even blink an eye. Didn't have to go to a Strong's Concordance and look anything up, you know. He knew immediately. He looked at him and he said this, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Has it changed? No. And the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor. We shall love one another as ourselves. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That word of God for the children of Israel and the word of God to the New Covenant, New Testament church, it has not changed. Still the same. You know, Jesus told us, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. They're in the upper room with the disciples in John 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Well, that wasn't a new commandment, because Leviticus 18, they knew to love one another. It says, but what was new about it was, love one another, Jesus said, as I have loved you, to the same degree that I love you, now love one another the same way. And by this, all will know that you are my what? Disciples. Love never fails, folks. Faith worketh by love. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Love fulfilled the law. Amen. The love of God, Romans 5:5, has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. We have all the love that we need, and here we are in the last days, and we better wake up. The reason we better wake up is because of the condition of the church. The condition of the church in the last day, here's what's going to be saying. Jesus is it should echo in our hearts, in our ears. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you do not do the things I ask you to do." You know, we have people that live together today, come to church, they're living together without the benefit of marriage. I'm not going to beat them up. I love them. But that's sin. Amen. That's the last time I tell. What's wrong with us? Oh, no, gosh. Listen, it says, well, that bothered me, Bill. Well, let me tell you something. It says in Matthew 24:10, talking about the last days, Jesus said, "And many will be offended and betray one another." Talking about in the church. "And will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up, deceive many." And here it is. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Now, the love there, that word love, is agape. It's only used of the church or the Christian. It is never used of the world. Talking about the last days where the heart of the Christian, oh, where this lawlessness, the love of lawlessness, the love of wickedness, the love of not obeying God, the love of doing my own thing, the love of wickedness will be greater than the love for one another. Loved one, love is the true litmus test of a believer. Amen? Amen. Loving one another. Loving God. That's the great commandment. There it is. Just that simple. You see, we want to be very careful because we don't know the day. We don't know the hour. Jesus told us in Matthew 24:42, he says, "Watch therefore, you don't know what hour your Lord is coming." Matthew 24:44, "Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Listen, it's time as we close out tonight. It's time for us to gird up our loins. Amen. Man, listen, gird up the loins of your mind. Protect your mind. Put on the armor of God. Let the word of God reside in your heart. Don't let the evil one try to conquer you or beat you up or speak lies to you. And you know what? Stay away from those who are not walking with the Lord. They're going to, if you walk with them, you're going to get in trouble. Go with the Lord. Love those who are not going that way, but don't go with them. They've lost their destiny, if you will. They're on the wrong track. You stay close to the Lord. I tell you, if you draw nigh unto the Lord, he will what? Draw nigh unto you. We have the promises of God. We're not going down. We're not going under. We're not going to fail. Boy, there needs to be a reawakening. There needs to be a refreshing, a renewal in the body of Christ where we trust him and lean upon him with all of our heart. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. It's a living word, Lord. We thank you that this year of divine fruitfulness, that we're going to walk in it, Lord. This is a place for people to bloom. And Lord, I'm so thankful. I celebrate all the incredible testimonies that are coming in week after week, week after week. Oh God, of the fruitfulness that's coming into their lives. There's no one like you. No one. We love you tonight. We praise you tonight, Lord. And if we're not walking the right way, if we're walking away from you, we don't want to go backward. We want to go forward. Lord, forgive us, wash us, cleanse us. And Lord, let us come after you. Bless your people now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Stand here.